Okay, so we are Andy Oates Group, and we've been working on the impact of mechanical forces on segmentation caught in zebrafish. So this is the team, and here he took us out for wound sampling last Friday. It was awesome. And this is the system we've been working on. Here, zebrafish somites form sequentially from the anterior to posterior direction in response to oscillating gene expression waves that arise in the posterior of the animal and move anteriorly.
And we noticed that there was, when we looked at animals that were stained with prolactin and myosin, we noticed that there was a higher concentration at the boundary of the somites as they formed of both actin and myosin, and we quantified that over time. And even though you can see in the first plot, if you plot the net expression of actin and myosin over time, they go down. And I thought we were onto something really interesting, but apparently samples can get photo bleached, I found out. And so instead we measured the ratio of actin and myosin at the cell boundary, at the somite boundary versus inside the somite over time. We sampled, that's just an indication of how we would get one measurement at a particular time of the ratio, but we sampled several points at each time. And you can see that the ratio of myosin at the boundary versus inside the somite increases, both actin and myosin, but maybe myosin is less noisy. So this made us think of somites as these other structures whose shape is guided by actin and myosin, and that cells. So we wanted to see the same way that, how in the same way that when one manipulates actin and myosin and puts mechanical forces on cells, you see their behavior changes. We wanted to try and do the same with the somites.
Sorry, I might miss this. Why is it that your RNY1 is at the top boundary and not the bottom boundary?
We sampled several boundaries, so like we looked at different points. It's just an indication that the ratio was taken at the at the boundary versus inside.
Just a question on the same picture. And there's, within the somites, there seem to be some other sub-boundaries. Is that sort of consistently? Just to the bottom right of the green ROI, there's then this like little band of myosin?
So you mean that there's some peaks of higher expression within the cell?
Yeah, was there anything you guys noticed?
I think it's true, it's there. We tried to be unbiased in our sampling. I think the idea is that there are peaks of higher actin or myosin within the cell. The idea is that on average, it's higher on the boundary. Mm-hmm. So it's
plotting the ratio between two regions of interest?
No, so at each given time we have five regions of interest for.
And within each region you're plotting?
The mean of that region, the mean expression intensity.
Yeah.
So you have five red boxes across the image on the boundary, and five green boxes that are on cell membrane within the somite. And then you average those two and get the ratio of the two averages for each time point, and you plot that across time.
But there's myosin and actin, and these regions are blood, so you're not measuring myosin and actin in the same region?
I think your ideas, the regions of interest I had here were not the same in the two images. But I am it's on the same image. But it was when I was slowly learning how to use Fiji, and I used the regions of interest in the two images that were not the same. But I think because you're averaging, I can't see why that would be.
Well, I'm just trying to understand. So, but myosin and actin, you still measure in each region of interest.
Yeah.
You measure both.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
And then you average them accurately.
See you. Have a good trip.
All right. Thank you so much for everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll come back and visit.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. So yes, we're trying to think of somites ourselves and understand how perturbing mechanical forces or meiosis and actin affects the way they're formed, the rate at which they're formed, their shape, and so on. So we're doing that in two ways. First, by trying to physically constrain the somites by putting them in agarose of different concentrations and imaging them while they're growing in agarose, and then turn into cuts if you do that. No, but okay. And this is our setup, where you can see this custom-made multi-well agarose dish, where we were trying basically to overcome the issue that we didn't have a well that we could use to image at the same time, and we know that these embryos are very sensitive to temperature, so we put agarose in a dish and put a lot of holes on it, so we could put embryos that are embedded in different amounts of agarose in each little hole, and then see how the ensomites develop in agarose as opposed to in control embryos. And we also tried to inhibit the embryo from producing force by perturbing myosin through blepostatin. So we tried different concentrations of blepostatin, and we fixed after different times to look at how the embryos are affected.
So basically, this is a video where you can see actually the somatogenesis on the tail. So we just showed one video of the controlled embryos. And basically, the what we do actually is to measure actually the rate of the somatogenesis. So here, as you can see on this video, you can see one bundle, one somite which is forming. And basically, we go actually through the video, and once we see actually one boundary of the somite, we count them, and then we obtain actually this plot. So we count the number of somites over the time. And here, actually, you can see that in the controls movie, the average time of the somite formation is about 30 minutes, which is actually consistent with the literature. And here, you can see actually two plots with two other controls embryo. And as you can see here on the y-axis, there is a huge actually variation, even during actually between two embryos. And this probably due actually to the temperature overnight, which is fluctuating. And as you can see, that actually influence on the time of the formations of the somites.
So next, we bring in our perturbations. What we do is we are trying to fix the embryo in agarose. We decide we're going for 0.5% agarose concentration. And as you can see, the 0.5% is not strong enough to constrict it because the embryo, the tail simply grows. And this is the corresponding plot that we have. The average time is 46.25. This, we increase the agarose concentration to 2%, and if you look at the movie carefully, you're going to see the tail buckling. So because of the force of the agarose and that there's no place for the tail to grow, it just simply buckles. This is the, again, the plot where we plot the somite number versus the time it takes for each somite to form.
You play that again?
Sorry?
Play the movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and like there are cell movements, but we do not actually cannot understand from this movie whether the somites are forming or not because it kind of goes out of view, like out of focus. But, yeah. And we also had a movie where earlier we had it in 2% agarose, but because the tail was kind of going to the yolk, because yolk was the region which was like comparatively less constricted, so the tail simply entered the pushed into the yolk. Yeah. And yeah, so the other perturbation that we have is treating them with blepostatin. So this is 10 micromolar blepostatin treatment.
and that is the movie and the corresponding plot, and the average time now is 72.5, which is quite higher than the control that we had.
Do you guys know how much myosin you inhibit by 10 micromolar? What fraction of myosin you get inhibited?
Not what fraction, but we know that by 1 micromolar or 5 micromolar, you actually do not see any blebs forming, which we are going to talk about. So we kind of can understand that it is blebistatin is doing its effect. We have not quantified it. It is doing its effect. So apparently, myosin is getting inhibited.
Okay, I guess I'm curious as to if you inhibit myosin, then the somite is still forming.
We have not done the actual quantification of how much myosin is getting inhibited, but yeah, we can talk about it already. Right. So we just compare the different rates. So the first one is control. We had three controls. The other two is 0.5 and 2% agarose. We do not really see much of a rise here. The error bar is also quite large, but that can be because of the temperature fluctuations. We know the temperature affects the rate of somites a lot. And the control movies were taken overnight, which we fear might actually, where the temperature fluctuation might play a big role in the controls. But I think we can look forward next to have, say, maybe a 1% agarose, and we expect to see a slower rate in somitogenesis as we increase the agarose concentration, as we put in mechanical stress from outside.
So about the temperature, I noticed the lab generally got a lot cooler in the evening, but one night, except for one night, they got really warm at the microscope. So I wonder if your overnight movies were slower. Does that make sense?
The rates were slower.
So
why do you expect that the mechanical constraint will change?
Because we see changes in shape also. And in general, there's a tendency for it to be slower. But because of our temperature fluctuation, we're not really making a good conclusion. But we predict that. Yeah, and this is for the blebistatin one, where we see a quite a larger slowing down effect due to the blebistatin treatment over the control. And, yeah, Zina?
Okay, so in this movie, we embedded in agarose, and we imaged myosin and HER1, which is HER1 is the molecule that we see swiping through the embryo during somatogenesis. Some of you might remember from Andy's talk. So these are the movies we see. You can see again the tail growing out and then getting buckled and turning in, and you can see waves coming up posteriorly moving out, and we wanted to quantify these waves. We know that in control animals, these waves are correlated with the rate of somite formation, so we wanted to see if this perturbation affected the rate at which these waves are formed and propagate.
So you said expressing myosin, Cherry and HER1YP, and we're looking at HER1.
Yes, the myosin is on the next image. I'll show it to you now. Yes, so those are both of them together. So you can, red is myosin and yellow is for the HER1. But to be honest, the myosin was very hard to keep track of. We were thinking of repeating the experiments that I showed you earlier, where you get the slope of myosin on the boundary and inside the somite.
But
it's not the same animal.
No.
That was a control.
It's not the same time scale, right?
As the previous one, you mean? As the green one I just showed you, or as the first one I showed?
No, as the green one.
Yeah, we have two of them.
It's accelerated very much.
I'm not sure if the movies are.
The time intervals were unfortunately different. The first movie had a 5-minute time interval. There's some
technical
issues with a 15-minute time interval for the second movie.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's much accelerated.
It's not because of the agarose, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yes. So what did you ask for, Reyes?
No, okay.
Just looking.
Okay.
So yeah.
You can't reach the mice in because you're projecting the movies.
Yeah, but even if you, the animal also moves, so it's really hard even to choose a particular Z stack and then say match because it was going in and out, or it was also a bit noisy. But yeah, there's probably better ways of projecting. So we didn't do much with the mice in these images. Instead, we kept we plot camographs of the expression of Herwan. So on the top slide, you can see a camograph of Herwan expression in the control animal, which was the first movie that I showed you that was a bit slower. And we chose through lines of interest across the samples, across the camograph, and plotted the Herwan waves to see what they look like over at different positions. So the posterior is there. And then here is here. So you can see that the image curves a bit, that's where this one is. Actually, yes.
So the smaller one is from the movie you just showed us?
Yes.
And there are some other striking features that they run one way.
Where do you go?
So we have the Nyquist effect here. because we're sampling every 15 minutes, and I would really like to say that this proves that the wave is twice as slow, and that's why we see only two waves. But I think that's our sampling was every 15 minutes instead of every 5 minutes, and we expect the period to be close to 15 minutes, and therefore we need to sample more frequently to look see these effects. What do you think? No. So it's hard to make any.
But your period seems longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah,
you have 2, 4, 6 on the
bottom. You're right,
line, you have six or
but we're sampling 3 times slower because we're looking every 15 minutes. We're taking images every 15 minutes instead of every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but you're sampling every 15 minutes a cycle that is, I mean, a period. It's not 15 minutes, the period of oscillation. I mean, it's not from the data.
The period of oscillation should
really not
be
15 minutes, though, right? I mean, it's like an hour, right?
No, it shouldn't be an hour. I think the period of oscillation is about 20 minutes to half an hour in the top bars, no?
Yeah, half an hour. Because I see, I mean, in the top right one, you see 6 or 7 minutes.
So from 200 to 400, you get about 3 peaks.
Right.
So in a yes.
That's 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's about an hour, right?
I think if you add the very sparse temporal sampling to a fairly low signal to noise ratio, it just made it very difficult to, in a treated kind of graph, to pick out measure the temporal signal very, very clearly. Mm-hmm. You could see very easily in the control.
So maybe, I don't know to what extent, for example, that first peak is three peaks, or
it could be.
Okay, yes. So first, that should be reversed. So it's anterior. It's posterior to posterior to anterior, and the other way around in the bottom walk. I wanted to see if anyone would pick it up. And that's the movie that got completely buckled up, and I think after a point we just lost the measurements in the bottom one. But Johan,
this is the only movie like this that,
Yeah, we have two, and the other one is even more noisy than this one. The camera.
Okay.
We have two of them, and they look quite similar.
Well, but I wouldn't call this noisy. It's just not the signal you expected. But,
Yeah.
You're somehow saying that there is, one wave sweeping through, and, No?
Nice.
No?
I disagree. So to interpret that chondrite on the bottom,
yeah,
it's important to flip it this way around. The two chondrites are shown in opposite orientations.
Okay.
So that what I completely agree with, you see this nice wave moving across, but actually that's the right part of each of the waves arriving from the anterior. And the part where the waves are really moving in the posterior was so close to the background that you didn't even see that you could barely pick out all incoming stripes. So
you cannot compare the two. You can't compare the two. They are completely different.
But I can show you in more detail, but the wave pattern didn't look completely normal. But that, but don't go from that transect to say what it did look like. Yeah.
It's very confusing.
In the interest of time, perhaps let's...
It's very confusing.
Zina showed we have like myosin boundary, myosin at the somatic boundary, and we have also actin at the boundaries of somite. If I coarse grain each somite as a cell, what do you expect in a highly contractile cell? If we have a cell with a contractile ring of actomyosin, and if there is a disruption in the boundary, then there will be a membrane protrusion which will cause which will form blebs. Okay, and normally these blebs will be repaired. And what we observed was we observed at the surface of these somites blebs were forming, and interestingly these blebs were disappeared in the treated embryos. And here is the zoomed in part of the somite in a controlled embryo. There is no bloodstratin in these embryos, and you can see the blood form on the surface of the somites. And this is treated with the bloodstratin. And before that, what bloodstratin does is it inhibits myosin, and basically there is no contractility, and bloods are gone.
How long after adding the bloodstatin was this image taken?
This particular one is after 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yes.
A completely stupid question. Why is bloodstatin called bloodstatin? Does it have anything to do with blood?
Yeah, that's how the name comes. And
okay,
and also I think... That's why we look for
blebs. Yes.
There's also other shape or pattern.
Shape changes?
Right?
Yeah.
Beyond just blebs. Blebs seems like a very,
the
least interesting of all those.
We are going to...
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to look at blood numbers to see if the drug is working.
Ah,
so this
fine.
Is our... to show that the bloodstatin is working. So we counted the number of blebs in the control. We have more blebs, and also it increases over the time. And in the different concentration, the blebs decrease, and at higher concentration, we don't observe any blebs at all. And this is again like the confirmation that the blebistatin is working, and we are mechanically perturbing the somites.
So, as Prithvi was saying, we wanted to look and coarse grain the somite shape and think of it maybe as a cell. So this was our imaging processing, image processing pipeline. We started with many fixed embryos, and we stained them for phalloidin. And then we kind of sketched out the first four somites that had formed in the presomitic mesoderm, and then assessed the shape of each of the somite by fitting, by measuring the aspect ratio of the best fit ellipse. And from that we could get the numbers that are shown there. So after 1 hour of treatment of blebistatin, we see that there isn't much change. There isn't much change in aspect ratio over time. And the colors correspond to each individual somite, and the data that the images that this data was taken from are shown right below it, with the colors corresponding to the somites. However, as the blebistatin treatment goes longer for about 4 hours, we see that the embryo deforms in the somites deform in the axial direction. That is, the somites elongate in the other direction. So, for example, the blue line increases, and we see that here in that the blue somite is very elongated in the other direction.
So, how significant would you expect the changes, the difference between? Do you have error bars?
So as a word of caution, this is the only embryo that we looked at for each condition, because we only had a week, so N of 1. nothing significant.
Can you go back one slide just to look at the...
Yes. Yeah, so one thing to notice is this light blue one is an anomaly. But we think that maybe if we measure more embryos, it will go away. All right, so if we go even for longer times, after 6 hour treatments, the trend is still there that the somites are getting elongated in this direction. And I guess just to belabor the point even more, we're just going to focus on the shape of somite one. Oh.
Sorry, can you go back one slide?
Yeah.
So if I look at the zebrafish tail lungs,
yeah.
They have, at the organism level, their aspect ratio is not the same. Do you try to normalize them before you do the aspect ratio?
No, we just measured the shape of these somites. We just tried to estimate the shape of this somite from the aspect ratio.
Okay.
So it's the best fit ellipse of this red somite.
Here's a related question.
Yeah.
For the same thing.
Yeah.
The embryo on the right is much fatter.
Yes.
Right. And in the presomitic section as well.
Yes.
Do you think this is an effect of the blebistatin, or this is the embryo itself?
I think that this is an effect of the blebistatin.
Okay.
That this embryo. Yeah. We think.
In the presomitic part as well.
Yeah. The presomitic part as well.
Yeah.
So does that have anything to do with the focus? The fat one might be in focus, and the other one out of focus?
No, all of the somites are in focus when we measure it.
And
Yeah, so we changed Z in order to make sure that we changed the Z so that the cross-sectional area was the largest, so we were getting the largest area. Let's go more quickly because of the interest of time. So in untreated embryos, there's an actomyosin cortex in the somite. So we were thinking that when we inhibit that, this actomyosin cortex is no longer there anymore, and we see a deformation in the axial direction, which hints to us that there must be some sort of stress in that direction that's also present in the untreated embryos. So now we are wondering, if we increase the axial tension via embedding these embryos in agarose, what would happen to the somite shape? So again, we saw something similar as the embryos were in agarose for more and more time. The somite shape became elongated compared to the control. And just a side note, for these embryos, we used a different, we defined aspect ratio a bit differently, where the length is along this axis, and we measured just this width. But we still see the same trend, that the somites are swishing. Yes?
So I'm a little bit confused. In each embryo, after 20 minutes or after 3.5 hours, are they really the same somite along the entire axis, or is it just that it's the closest somite, the most newly formed somite?
Most newly formed somite.
Okay. So the ones, the somites that you're showing at the end are actually far more to the posterior than the 20-minute one.
Yes. So if the rate was different, then that could affect the absolute somite number. Yes.
So just to clarify, you're measuring at the same time point, or and you are embedding beforehand, or are you starting at the beginning? Is 20 minutes after?
Okay. So this is the same embryo followed for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And imaged at 20 minutes, 2.5 hours, and 3.5 hours, plus or minus a little bit. Okay. So finally, so we think that after increasing this stress in this axial direction, we still see a compression along that axis, but the actomyosin cortex is there to resist that, but it still gets compressed. Okay, and with that, Prithvi will conclude.
So blebbistatin treatment elongates the somite shape basically by weakening the actomyosin contractility, and also we have seen that it slowed down the somite formation rates. Similarly, we see same thing in the embedded embryos also. The somite shape elongates, and also we see somite rate slows down.
Did you try and count the number of cells?
We wanted to do it, but we didn't. Within, you mean within the somite?
In a somite, yeah. Is that the same number when you compress or not?
No, we measured area perimeter, but not the somite number. Cell numbers.
Then we couldn't really find any trend with just a cross-sectional area.
As a future directions, we see in control embryos there is a highly contractile actomyosin cytoskeleton. And in the blebbistatin treated, we think this contractility has reduced. Maybe in future one could check this by micropipette aspiration technique. And with this, we'd like to thank Andy. And we had really a great time. He's awesome. We had great discussion, and also, and thanks for the wine too.
The correlation between the wine.
We learned a lot.
She's awesome.
We'd like to thank Alvika, and she's the best TA, and she was there throughout the 2 weeks. And Ale, he provided us embryos. Our fishes were jet lagged, and they weren't giving us fishes. So, and also he showed us how to inject. And Laurel, she showed us how to dissect fish tail bud, and thanks to Eileen, she ordered us reagents. And thank you all for your attention.